So we're here on the sunny Fringe City, and I'm joined by Chris Neville-Smith, somebody I've been threatening to talk to for a while, and we're talking about Waiting for Gandalf. So tell us about it.
Okay, well, Waiting for Gandalf is a solo show about Kevin Brook, who is an obsessive Lord of the Rings fan. He's queuing overnight for a book signing from Ian McKellen, except Kevin never refers to him by his name. He only refers to him as Gandalf because he idolises Gandalf. But he actually idolises a teacher who looks like Gandalf. And there is a reason for all of this devotion to Lord of the Rings, but that's to escape from his real life, which, as we find out, isn't very happy at all.
So it's a classic exploration of escapism, really.
Yes, I think that's a good description of it.
Yeah. Now, where did the idea come from, Chris?
Well, I'm not the writer. The writer is Adrian Marks. We were on the writers group for Live Theatre back in 2011, and that was his play because we all had to develop a play for this. He is a big Lord of the Rings fan in real life, and I think he's also done some work in social work, so a lot of the themes which he's written about in this are things that he knows about happening in real life. A couple of things in the play are things which happened to him for real, but not the one at the end. That was entirely a product of his imagination.
And so in terms of you getting involved, take me into your rehearsal studio.
Okay, well, the rehearsal studio, quite often it has been me going through the moves in my bedroom, but I did have a director who advised me through a few things, and there was a few rehearsals when there was three of us, and sometimes we would discuss the best way of doing a certain scene, and we came up with ideas between us. And so there's a bit at the beginning and a bit at the end this time round which we've made substantial changes with, and that was a product of a discussion for how best to do it, and we came up with something which all three of us were happy with.
So did you have to try it and then decide whether it worked or not?
Well, I originally tried it in 2014 Buxton Fringe for the simple reason that I'd been there in 2013. I wanted to keep a presence there in 2014, but I needed something which I could take easily. This happened to be a play which I could act myself, and it just so happened that Adrian Marks was very enthusiastic for me to perform this.
But it sounds like you've been given permission to tinker with it a bit.
Well, he's definitely left it up to me to put in the moves for this, and he thinks that I suit the part very well. The actual script, I'm not one of these people who dogmatically says you shouldn't change a single word, but I've actually felt I didn't really need to change much of it. Yeah, I found it was easier for me to work the nuances around the script.
How do you get into character?
Okay, right. Well, I do make this joke that I always get typecast in plays of a social reject, and people say, but you play the social reject so well, and I'm not sure what to make about that. I did have the experience, nothing like the experiences that Kevin had in this play, but I did have something a few years ago when things were going very badly in my life, and I did have a mini meltdown there, and I've adapted how I felt then into some of the nuances in the play now.
So you've drawn on your life experience?
Indirectly, yeah, in a roundabout way.
And then in terms of actually the physical stuff about the character, do you, how do you find your voice? How do you find the physicality? Is that something that you just experiment with?
I'm honestly not sure how I can describe that. I think the main way I've done this is I've been to loads of fringes, seen loads of solo plays. I've been observing what everyone else does for years, and I've pretty much picked it up from that.
Do you enjoy solo work?
Yes, I enjoy solo work. A lot of people say that is the very last kind of theatre they want to do. Yeah. The two things I have found out, firstly, solo theatre back in your hometown, audiences are very easily impressed. They go, wow, you like learned all those lines, whilst when you're at a Fringe, it's the other way around. Everybody's doing solo stuff, and it is an absolute nightmare to stand out. So I am in the odd situation now where I have had excellent critical acclaim for this, but my ticket sales are pretty dire.
And in terms of a venue, when you come into a new venue, how do you adapt to the particular space?
Well, I knew this venue was going to be narrower than any stage I'd used before, so most of my rehearsal run-throughs had been upstairs room. Usually I've cleared furniture at the side to simulate the width of the stage. This time I left the furniture where it was, and that gave me about the correct width, and I've been getting used to that. Which meant that when I did the preview on a wider stage, it was actually the other way around. I was disorientated getting back to the bigger stage, which I'd been using.
So what's your ideal venue?
Oh, my ideal venue. Oh, right, that is a good question. Well, probably the venue I love the most is Pauper's Pit at the Buxton Fringe. And as you may have heard by now, the mood is that this year really is going to be the last year. They've been saying that for years. This time, everyone thinks it's really going to happen.
But for people that haven't been there, describe it a bit about why you like it.
Well, it's a nice self-contained space, and the odd thing about the seating is it can only be one quarter full, and the way it's set out, it can still look like a full house of people are sitting near the front.
Okay, and then finally then, what will be your invitation to people to come and see Waiting for Gandalf?
I'm going to stick with what everybody's saying, the recommendations and previews. Everyone says that it is ultimately a disturbing hour to watch. It is difficult viewing, but it is something that you will be glad you've seen afterwards.
Chris, thanks ever so much.
Thank you.